different things. I was then a trading agent, and all these details we had about. But of course, we were very isolated up there, and the commandant, who was there for most of the time I was there, his wife was an ex-BBC singer, amongst other things, and he said, we must make our own entertainments. And he said, with all the hundreds of students coming through, we've got plenty of talent. And we did. We had opera singers and stage actors and instrumentalists. And I was a pretty efficient pianist at that time.
Yeah.
And there was another instructor who was an even better pianist than me. And we had pianos sent up to us from Royal Pindi on hire. And he arranged stuff for two pianos, and I sent home an urgent telegram to my father to send out two piano versions, I think, of the Grieg and the Rhapsody in Blue and that sort of stuff, which we made highly edited editions of, and we supplied the sort of orchestra, you know, we did a turn of our own and also supplied music, but also I became the sort of accompanist for Nicky Sutton, the commandant's wife, who was always taking part in these concerts. And also, as we were so big, we had our own chapel with our own padre, and I became the sort of the church organist. We borrowed an enormous harmonium from the governor of the province, and also had a very good students' choir.
You had a pretty busy time.
I did. And so we used to do the service in the morning in the school, and in the evening I used to put the choir into a three-tonner and take them down to Abbottabad, where there was a lovely little church which you could have imagined in the Somerset village. And we used to do the service there. The padre doubled up as our padre and the vicar of the church. And I tell you, we used to give concerts. And I can remember the commandant used to take a great interest in every intake, walking into my office one day and said, guess who's on the next intake? No, sir, who? Tom Jenkins. Now, Tom Jenkins, you probably, before the war, that every Sunday night they had a broadcast from the Grand Hotel Eastbourne.
Oh, that's right, Albert Sandler.
That's it. Well, Tom Jenkins had taken over from him. And so he was coming in the next day. So the commandant said, tell him to report. So
was he a violinist?
He was violin, a brilliant violinist, you see. Well, I mean, leader of the Grand Hotel. And so one night I was in my quarters. By that time I'd got up to some very nice quarters in the headquarters staff position from tents and other things. And knock at the door, and there was this fellow in rather scruffy uniform standing there with a violin case, and said, my name's Tom Jenkins, I've been told to report to you. So I said, come in. And I had my piano there, you see. And so he produced the most grubby looking lot of music stuck together with sticky tape and covered in little blots and things. And he put this stuff up, and we started, and of course, with the difficulty of reading, every now and then I'd make a mistake and he'd give a tremendous snort, you know. But anyway, he played in the next concert. In fact, my other pianist came back from leave, and we had the trio. He played the piano, Tom Jenkins played the violin, and I was what the troops called my mighty Wurlitzer on this really great harmonium. But so that was interesting. Apart from that, we had gymkhanas, which were quite fun. All sorts of odd things. As I mentioned, camels. And all sorts of odd races. There was, of course, the Cud race. That's the race where they go up the mountains and come back, which was always won by the Gurkhas. And then we used to have dances. And we had the one permanent mess, which had been the School of Artillery's mess. And we used to hold dances there. And the surprising thing was that they were doing some repairs, and they opened up a trap door in the floor, and it was a sprung dance floor. I looked down myself, and the floor was on these big squat swings. Towards the Srinagar Kashmir border. We were miles away from a railway or...
who built that?
That was the School of Artillery, I think, did that. But then we used to use the fifth Gurkhas had a very nice dance band, and they used to send this dance band up with these rosy-cheeked young Gurkhas, you know, playing instruments. And Again, I went on a package tour on one occasion, and I was sitting in a hotel, and they came round with creme caramel, you see. And I said, no thanks, I've had enough of that in my life. And the fellow on the next door said, how's that? And I said, well, in India, every time you stopped at a railway restaurant, you've got creme caramel. He'd come out in the same batch as me on the cadets. And actually had been commissioned into the 13th Frontier Force. And he said, you used to hold dances, didn't you? He said, I used to come up to those dances. And he said, do you remember the 5th Gurkha band sitting there singing, You Are My Sunshine?
Funny, isn't it? These coincidences.
Anyway, after about... We had a senior officer's course as well.
What rank did you get?
Well, I was captain for about 2 years. And then the GSO-1... Yes. Who was a young, ambitious regular, had a reputation for being pretty difficult, but I got on with him all right. And he never said anything to me, but one day he said to me, oh, he said, I'm off. I'm posted. He said, they're downgrading the job to GSO-2. And he said, I recommended you take over. Thanks very much, sir, you see. So off he went, sure enough. I was promoted major. But after about 3 weeks, the commandant called me over. He said, I've got some bad news for you. I said, what's that? He said, headquarters say this post has got to be filled by a staff college bloke, and you're not staff college. I said, right. So back I went to captain, and this ex-guardsman came in as GSO-2, the fellow with the radios I mentioned.
Yes, yes.
And then the senior officer's course had about 30 students, and if you were promoted major, you had to do this course. And the senior instructor was a fellow called Colonel Woods, who I got to know very well, because I used to organize some of their big exercises, you see, as a training agent. And he got promoted to brigadier and went off to GHQ, and came back on a visit. We were having a drink in the mess, and he said, you fed up with being here? And I said, I'm rather. He said, would you like to come down to GHQ? He said, I think I've just got the job for you. So I said, thanks very much. I thought, well, that's the end of that. Well, within a few days, signal, report to GHQ. And I went down. I was then in the military training branch.
Where was this?
In Delhi.
In Delhi.
The RIC...
and the RIC?
The RIC is the Royal Indian Army Service Corps. And we had our own, we had so many troops again. This old Sammy Woods was the brigadier in charge of organizing this. We were overstaffed. We had a full colonel, a GSO-1, and three GSO-2s. And I was responsible for the MT training. Well, by that time, beginning in 1945, all the big driving establishments, NCOs, had been running for a long time and really weren't a much problem. Yeah. But my big responsibility, we had the only two amphibian training schools in India. And old man Batten was down in Sri Lanka busily working up an invasion of Malaya by sea. And so these two schools were very important. One was at Kokonada on the east coast, which trained on ducks. And the other one was at Mar Island near Bombay, which trained on LVTs, land in vehicle trout. And I was very busy on that, because you see, before VE Day, India was at the bottom of the shopping list, and we didn't get any equipment. But as soon as VE Day came, the emphasis was on the Far Eastern campaign, and apparently went round all the beaches and gathered up all the ducks and the LVTs, refurbished and put on ships and sent them out. So in the end, we were working on a system whereby, for instance, with the LVTs, a British or an Indian general transport company would come in, be trained on LVTs, go out, leave its three tonners behind, and go out equipped with LVTs. Yeah. And the same thing happened with ducks. Yeah. And so we got that. There were always problems, of course. I mean, nobody seemed to know precisely the Mark twos and threes. They seemed to change when the ship was in mid oceans. I mean, you know, it used to cause tremendous problems. But on one occasion, Sammy Woods called me and he said, have you ever heard of a weasel? He said, not the four-legged variety, but he said an amphibian. So I said, no. He said, well, it's the latest thing the Americans have developed. It's a very lightweight recce thing. PSI, very low PSI, wide tracks, carries two or three people, ideal for recce over mud and all the rest of it. The first six are arriving in about 10 days' time. We've got to start training on those, you see. And he said, this afternoon you'll get a copy of the handbook. And he said, as it's so urgent, I've given your name to the various battalions and they'll get on to you straight away to tell you who they want to send on a course, you see. So, of course, I went off and read all this stuff through, rang up the OC. I thought, well, this is track BVLV Teesside, Mard Island. I rang up the OC and told him he was a marvellous bloke. He said, oh, good, you know, I'd love to do that. I said, we're going to get six of these things in about a week's time. So he said, I've got two ideal blokes to do that. He said, we want a good week to take them apart and find out how they work and all the rest of it. But he said, the first thing, we've got to find a training area. So he said, between us, we said, well, what we want is inland. He said, it's no good here. He said, we want a village with a tank. Now, the village had these so-called tanks, but they were artificial ponds, probably 400 years old, you know. And he said, what we want is a village with a nice tank, with a good entrance, near a railway line. So he said, leave it with me, I'll go off on a recce and see what I can find. So I sent him off the book, he rang back and said, I think I found a good place, we discussed it, and I said, yeah, I think that's all right. Then, of course, I had to find out who the hell I had to get on to get permission and, you know, arrange it all. We did that. And anyway, the OC's adjutant started ringing up with names, and we wanted to send a sergeant and two men and all the rest of it. And I had a GSO, all I had was a GSO-3 and a VCO clerk. Anyway, that went off all right. Never had any complaints about that.